I wrote this lesson that I'm going to do today right in the middle of the beginning of what was going on in COVID. That's been a ways back. So I let it set aside and thought, well, I don't need to do that. One of the things about preaching is sometimes you end up doing stuff you wish you hadn't. Or you wish you'd have done some other thing. We're going to try this, and if it works, it does. If it don't, and since Clint's here, I'm going to blame it on him. That's the American way. I titled this lesson, "It's Not Always What It Appears." If you want to talk about things being hidden in a country, we should be the country that gets talked about the most. There's stuff going on in this country that is horrific, and it will touch everybody in this room, everybody in this nation. Said all that to say this: I serve a God who cannot be beaten, has never been beaten, and is not going to ever be beaten, so I don't have to worry about it. I don't really know. We're going to be in John chapter 7 and then probably jumping around some other places maybe. I don't really know how I want to do this. I just know I want to do it. Now, for those of you who preach occasionally, you understand that. For the rest of you, you don't. But sometimes you got stuff you just need to do. There's a lesson in here, and I think we need to see it, and we need to see it because we have grown to have definite opinions about what ought to be. If you go to another congregation in this town, they may look at something completely different than we look at. I don't know if you know it or not, but for years, we were not the greatest bunch in the world. We were the other people. Did y'all know that? Don't you love being the other people? Who wants to have the same thing everybody else has? When it comes to religion or having an assembly, we have a definite idea what ought to happen. You show me or tell me anywhere in the scripture how an assembly ought to be done. But yet, churches will fight over that, will they or not? Yes! Dumbest thing we ever did. Man, that's not the dumbest, but it's encroaching on it. God has given us few, only a few, definites. And we've contrived the other stuff on our own. And then turn around and try to poke it in somebody else's face and say, "We got it right." I'm going to tell you, there's not a day I have ever breathed that I totally got it right. There's been a lot of contention among the brothers over the years over those definites that God was rather indefinite about. We've had a lot of trouble over the definites that God's been indefinite about. We have some kind of capability of twisting things around to make ourselves look bigger and better than somebody else when our job is simply to be a reflection like the sun is to the skies and to the earth. That's our job. In the book of John, it takes us back, not just because of one chapter or the other, but what it does is it takes us to my right to talk about these things. There's some preachers in this country that are very bright. There are some of us who are so dense, we can't even get out of the rain. And we've got all kind of stuff going on in our movement, and nobody really knows what to do. We don't really know how to fix it. Well, look at our attendance. Our attendance is down to a third on a good Sunday. Other people say, man, we had a whole house full. Well, you had 500 in the first place. That don't count. You know, you have to kind of proportion this stuff. If we'd have never had a church building, we'd have been better off in this world. If we would have just done it the way Jesus Christ had us do. Every time the Jews had something going on, something to eat, like a feast or whatever, Feast of Tabernacles, it was a big affair. People came and these things went on for a good while, day after day. And they went from one feast to the other. I mean, this was big stuff. God is a God of eating good stuff. That's why you don't want to go eat Cheerios. You want to eat God's food. Steak and potatoes and ham. You know, that kind of stuff. You would have the Feast of Lights. You would have the Feast of Manna. And you could just keep on going if you just remember all these feasts. And you'd be going on forever. Do you remember that the feast commemorated what God had done when He brought the people out of Egypt? That's why they had the feast. It wasn't because the people were hungry. It was to say, I remember when God gave us clarity and deliverance. They were designed so that people, while eating with all of this festivity, could remember the working of God. Food is always and has always been a good way to do that. And God sanctioned it. In the text, Jesus said in a Feast of the Tabernacles and around these different feasts, you're going to hear Him talk about being the bread of life. Have we talked about the bread of life here? And we'll see stuff about that. Later you'll hear something about being the light of the world. Do we ever sing a song? Oh, great light of the world, fill up my soul. Do we do that? He's worrying to tell us, these people, that all this stuff that you're remembering is Jesus Christ. Not about food, though you eat food. It's not about the right place, though you went to the right place. He is worrying to tell all the people that the stuff you're remembering is Himself way back. I want you to know, Jesus Christ is not new. He's been here before the foundation of the earth. He was not born, He always was. He was born into the flesh, but did He not already exist? I have a God who has no beginning and no end. I have a God that cannot be defeated by anybody, no matter how strong they are. Anything that could be thrown against them or onto them will not stick. That's the God I have. And God says to me, somebody like a worm like me, come on, nuzzle up over here. I'll keep you under my wing, and you'll be okay. I want people, and have ever since I began to preach, I want people to be able to believe that God's promises never fail, and if God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen whether you enjoy it or not. Well, I just don't feel saved. Maybe you need to take an Alka-Seltzer. I don't know, but I'm going to tell you what, if God tells you you're clean, you're clean. You are clean. When you came to Jesus Christ, you were a mess. When you were baptized into Christ, Jesus Christ washed away your sins, yes or no? What happened to them when He washed them away? He didn't put them in a box so He could bring it back to you. He took it away. How thoroughly did He do that? I will remember, have you heard this phrase? I will remember your sin no more. That's the God I serve. We're always looking for some kind of sign from God. God, give us a sign. We're just really dumb sometime. God don't have to give you a sign. If God gives you a promise, that's way better than a sign. Just stay in the promise. Brother preacher, I sinned. And now here's what the church ought to do. When somebody comes forward and said, I have sinned, everybody ought to just gasp. You know why they don't? Because they're sitting there saying, boy, don't you look at me. But I'm sitting there saying, you know what? God's already washed me clean. Even before I did it. That's the good part. You remember the fleece test back in the Old Testament? They put out the fleece and it was wet, and then next time it was dry and so forth. Well, let me tell you, we've been trying to fleece God ever since then. Brother preacher, I need you to pray for me so I can be forgiven. I'm telling you, I have hated that. Coming up to the front and the preacher go get their hand and have a prayer with them. What preacher on this earth has got the power to remove sin? None. You know what you do? You just go to Jesus. Cut out the middle guy. That's dumber than dirt. I want a people who know that they have flaws. Everybody in this room has got flaws. We all have them. When God cleans you up, He doesn't do it wrong. When He imputes you with His righteousness, you become as righteous as God Himself is. Do you believe that's true? That is the good news. What's happening in these texts with John? Is they're envisioning things that they're seeing around them, but they're not hanging on to the stuff that God's already told them. Is it possible for somebody to dream up something on their own and think it's Scripture? Is that possible? Here's a dirty looking guy. Can God clean you up? Can He keep you clean? Already did. He don't does, He did. It's not a does, it's a did. I want to be like that guy. I want people to know God really means what He says. And when you walk out of here, I want you to know that you are sinful people walking out of this room. Just like you were sinful people running into this room. But you have a covenant that cleanses you. You can't beat a deal like that. What do we need to do? What does God require of us? I'm going to help you with some stuff. God never required you ever to be in church. You know why? You are the church. If your little smutty foot steps out there, you're the church. Or over there in the parking lot, or anywhere else. You're already there. You don't have to go to any of it. It just goes with you. You're the church wherever you are. These people started messing with Jesus. They started coming up with all kinds of stuff. They appealed to God. What do we do? God basically says, just go be like my boy. If you were like Jesus, would you be like the Father? Would you be like the Holy Spirit? Do you realize you can walk away out of this assembly today, go anywhere on the earth that you want to travel to, if you want to drive very far or fly somewhere? Do you know that the Holy Spirit of God lives in you? And if you take 3 steps that way, where is the Holy Spirit of God? What if you take 3 steps that way? He's over there. What if you go yonder way? Do you realize the Holy Spirit of God lives in you? My question with that is this. Can God associate with evil? No. I hate to pick on this guy. But if the Holy Spirit lives in him, Whose is he? Are you saved or lost? Do you realize that happens with everybody in the covenant? We got fearful people all over this country worried about, am I going to make it? Am I going to make it? You got blabbering preachers like me up there trying to poke out somebody's hand and say, I shook your hand and prayed. You're okay. Buddy, I don't have the right to clear sin. I'm on the next row. But I've got the Holy Spirit in me, so God's cleaned me. I want to be in a place where people are secure, who understand in whom they have believed. Are you going to make bad mistakes? I want you to know who you are. If you know who you are, you can go anywhere you want to go. Be anything you want to be in the righteousness of God. And the problem with all this stuff is, we have a hard time because the work of God doesn't always look like what we think it ought to look like. God has got to be a hilarious God. Well, I know what we're going to do tomorrow, and God's grinning like a mule eating sawbriars. You don't have a clue what I'm going to do, son. I've got a God of excitement. He can move and do whatever He wishes and bring about just things at the same time. So He goes dealing with all these people and they start to grumble. You ever had a grumbling church? You've been there. How many times have you seen somebody pull somebody off to the side and say, you know, I tell you what, I don't want to hurt anybody's feeling, but that Robert McWhorter thing over there, I don't think he's real good. People are doing that kind of stuff all the time, suspecting something else. Just leave God alone and let Him do His thing. Trust Him. Trust people to trust Him. If a person gets out of line, starts to grumble, God knows how to stop it, and He will stop it. Grumbling is that kind of thing we need no part of anywhere. There's not enough of us even to make a good grunt anymore, much less a grumble. And we can stand up and we can stand in God's mighty power. And we'll get through all this stuff, and when it straightens out, whenever it does, you know who will still be in control? God Almighty. Jesus comes on the scene. They come up to Jesus. They don't want to talk to Him because they're scared of Him. But they come up and said, don't we know who His mama and daddy is? Now, I lived in one of those households when your mama and daddy wasn't nobody. My daddy worked at the paper mill. My mama spent her time chasing me. Well, their excuses. Don't we know this guy? Yeah. Wasn't Jesus already born here? Walking around? Did Jesus have a degree? I wonder how far He went. I can help you with that. All the way to the stars. There's nothing He didn't know. And you know what? Let me tell you this. Today, and among us, there is nothing He does not know. You want to know the real fun thing? He loves you anyway, warts and all. I'm euphoric. And I'm telling you, you can't lose with the stuff I use. I have the greatest God, the only God, and His power is in me, just as it is in you. And the church says, amen. Amen.